you're gonna regret.
But if you wanna stay in shape, well, you better hit the
gym with Gym Wits.
That's right, man.
Welcome to the Gym Wits Podcast. I'm Ryan George.
I'm Justin Guild, a.k.a. Chef Sonic.
And we are the Gym Wits. So, Justin, I'm doing a Spartan race in a couple weeks.
A what?
A Spartan race. Have you ever done or heard of You've heard of them? You've heard.
I don't like the idea of racing. I've always been very slow.
Okay.
So anything that involves racing, I automatically block out of my mind. No, of course I know Spartan races. They are quite intense. I think that's great that you do that.
Yeah,
going to do that. It's going to be fantastic for your conditioning.
Yeah, well, full disclosure, I was given a free race pass.
The truth comes out.
Yeah, the truth comes out. But no, actually, it was funny. Last year, if anyone who has read my blog, last year I put a post about doing the same thing. I was given the free race, and I was going to do it. And I was all set. It was my first Spartan race. I've never done it. And then literally last minute, I'm on the train heading to Citi Field where it was being held. And my wife was sick, so I had to go help her out. So I didn't get to do it last year, which is why I never followed up on that post.
I love the idea of a free race, right? Or more so paying to do a race. It's like, I want to pay to do something that I never want to do. It's like, you couldn't pay me to do a Spartan race.
Yeah, as the whole topic of today has come, you'll come to understand why people do pay for Spartan races. But anyway.
It's like paying to have someone kick me in the leg. I do that.
Yeah, right. But I guess you enjoy getting kicked in the leg. But anyway, so just talk a little bit about the Spartan races. So if you've never done it, they are fun from what I understand. Sure. And I was actually very interested in doing it. So when I had the opportunity to get another one, because they've been very, very gracious enough to offer that, I'm going to do it again.
So who's doing the race? Whose is it?
It's Spartan race.
Spartan. Is there like a company or like a guy or someone that is heading it or is in charge of this whole
thing? Yeah, well, I mean, it was started by Joe DeSena.
Oh, cool.
Who I've read a couple of his. He has a couple books. Spartan Up I read, which is a bestseller, and that's a very good, like, inspiring book.
Oh, awesome.
And then he actually has a new book coming out, Spartan Fit, which I think will be cool for people who are trying to take these races, because a big challenge with the Spartan race is how do you train for it? Because even me, like, I've never done one, so I'm not quite sure. I think I know how to train for one, but I don't quite know. So he actually has a new book coming out that basically guides you through the process, because for a lot of people, including people I know who've trained for it, it's very much like trial and error getting ready for something like this. Basically, it's a quote unquote race, but what it is you're doing, whether it's a short, like, they have a sprint, which is like a 2 or 3 mile one, where you're doing your 2 or 3 miles, but you're doing obstacles in interspersed within it. So it might be like a rope climb or a like crawling under barbed wire or electric
fences. Is it
fences.
Like that show, that Japanese show? Was it
no?
I think is that what it was called?
Not American Ninja Warrior, was that
something
or
something like that? Or
there was like the Ninja Warrior or something like that. Not quite like that, but it's similar kind of thing. You know, wall climbing,
or
all
like
kinds
of
events,
like the Eliminator on the American Gladiators.
Yeah, well, I guess it's funny that kind of brings. I wonder if that was kind of like some of the, because that brings it out, right? Like when we were kids, we wanted I desperately wanted to be on American Gladiators, obviously.
I always wanted to be like the second contest. Assault, right? When you ran to each station,
exactly.
And a crossbow.
That would be awesome. But yeah, so basically, like, the Spartan race is like an obstacle course.
Yeah.
And they have sprints. They have another one which is 8 miles. They have another one that's 12 miles. And that's like level one, because then they're like endurance, quote endurance ones. You'd think 12 miles is endurance, but they've got one that's like 60 hours worth, that's like, I think the Agoge is the name of it.
Is that over multiple days?
And it's like, no, it might be a straight up just 60 hours straight. I think it's 60 hours straight.
You can't stay up for 3 days.
I don't know.
No way. The risk of injury or...
Maybe we gotta look this. I will look this up and get back to you.
Imagine that they would have anything sponsored where they tell people to stay up for 3 days.
Well,
just
I
that
mean,
in
you
itself
have to get
is
a certain
dangerous.
Level to do that. But
staying up for 3 days, just that, and then doing complicated moves.
People do ultra marathons. I don't know.
3 days.
Okay, we will answer that.
The risk of injury.
Okay, don't quote us on this. We'll answer that one later. But regardless, no matter what your level, it's actually pretty. It is cool. So that got me thinking. So once I kind of, I'm like, okay, well, I'm doing the Spartan race. It's in a couple weeks, and I will, when I'm done with it, I'll give my own review of it. So my, the one I'm doing is a sprint. It's in Citi Field. Mm-hmm. So it's the shortest of all the races. I think there's like, it's 3 miles. And I think there's 20 something obstacles involved. I don't think I'll be doing any crazy mud. Because they're all kinds. Sure. So the Spartan race is also like Tough Mudder. They're all different ones. And for some of them, they get pretty, you know, you're in mud, you're crawling in mud, there's water events, and all kinds of stuff. Yeah, and so basically that gave me the idea for today's podcast, which is like, you have things like this, and also even exercise programs like CrossFit, where it's made fitness the end. So usually exercises like the goal or the means to an end to get better at a sport or to be more fit. And in these cases, you're actually the exercise is part of the sport. It's the goal. It's the sport. So just talking about kind of the benefits, costs of them. Are there benefits? Are there negative aspects to it? So just an interesting topic. I don't really have much of a plan. I don't have real show notes, but I thought we could talk about.
To think about is that they have been televising the CrossFit Games.
Yeah.
So that if you needed any proof that fitness as a sport is here and here to stay, there's your proof. It's on ESPN or NBC Sports, like one of those.
Yeah.
They're televising it, and not just once, like for weeks, right? So the if you think about it, really the sort of enduring, the prototype for fitness as a sport is the World's Strongest Man. Right. Now, I grant that's more strength sports, but it's not, that wasn't just Olympic lifts.
Yeah.
That was, you know, all these weird sort of fitness type things. Of course, you could think about the Olympics, like the, you know, decathlon, but that's not, those are very skill oriented as well.
Well, with what about like bench press and squat?
But those are specific. That's what I'm saying. They're very skill based. Those are lifts, but they're like, there's incredible skill and technique involved in that.
I guess, but there's skill and technique involved in
everything. Yeah. In everything, of course. But so for me, that was sort of the first, the World's Strongest Man, even though it is a strength, it's around strength, there's still a lot of other athletic things that go into it. So that to me was sort of the prototype of fitness as a sport. And if you look at it, some CrossFit stuff models some of its exercises off of some of the World Strongman stuff. Now, the Spartan race is more on, clearly on like the racing side, the American Gladiators side of things, where there's not really lifts and stuff involved, but it's
sure,
more.
Sure, I mean, there are some of the obstacles do involve, you know, whether it's like a fireman's carry.
Oh, when you do something like that for.
Or holding like, you know, carrying like 20 kilogram, you know,
or a bag,
bottles
or
bags,
sandbag
or
something
sandbag.
While
exactly.
you do it. Yeah.
Yeah. So there are definitely parts that do involve, or moving a tire or dragging a tire. There are definitely events that involve strength.
The strength sports. So that even shows even more how sort of that the old strongman stuff has filtered into some of these modern fitness sports.
Yeah.
And it's just very interesting to see how everything has evolved, how sort of fitness and sports have evolved together, and now we're seeing it come to life right in front of our eyes.
And it's kind of cool because it gives you, for somebody who maybe is not somebody who doesn't practice or play a particular sport, but they want to feel accomplished and they want to feel fit, having things like this actually do get, you know, you feel good about yourself. You can be part of a team. Yeah. Even when you're doing like a Spartan race, there are teams. You can join with a group of people. So when you're training, if it's at CrossFit, again, whether good or bad, so, you know, we have mixed things to say about CrossFit as a protocol, but it does develop that sense of being part of a team that you get, like if you're playing a sport or if you're practicing a martial art. I think we've mentioned before that it's very similar to being on an MMA team, right, where you're with a group of people who work together and motivate each other. And even though a lot of it is individual,
the training
you work as a team and you have a group and they help motivate you and keep you focused and keep you going.
And to me, that is the most important aspect of all of this, right? The team workout concept once again, is nothing new. They've been doing group exercise classes for years. Yeah. But in this context where you're doing intense exercises, whether it be lifts, power lifts, running, sprints, all sorts of weird type exercises, the team aspect of things is very powerful in that it really pushes people. Yeah. We all know that the mental edge, the mental aspect of fitness is the most important. And this really covers that.
Yeah.
It allows people to push themselves. When you have a teammate, I know especially when I was on the wrestling team, I did things I could never do by myself. They pushed me hard, and we in turn, I would push my teammates. So that concept is so important, and I think that for me, with this whole fitness as a sport thing, to me, that's the most valuable aspect is the team aspect.
Yeah.
Of it.
Well, yeah, I think in extending from that is the motivation to work out. You have people that you don't want to let down.
Sure.
There's a sense of accomplishment. Depending on the exercise or the movement, there's a goal. Where if I'm doing like bicep curls, yeah, I have a goal of whatever my weight is and the sets and reps, but it gets monotonous where if the goal is like climbing over a wall or the goal is a certain, a power lift or the goal, there's like a real functional goal for a lot of these sure. events and exercises and protocols that there's a sense of accomplishment that you get that you don't quite get when you're just in the gym doing your set.
Out.
Yeah, if you're doing like your one rep max or something, that's a little bit different. But there definitely is an accomplishment that you get. Or, if you complete a race, like there's accomplishment there that you don't get from just being in the gym. So making your workout, making fitness the goal really has benefits in that way.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that when you turn anything into a competition or you turn something into a sport, you approach it differently, right? Because, sort of as you were mentioning, now there's a purpose. You have to execute this activity. You have to execute this lift, this run, or whatever it is. When you're just at a gym working out, you can sort of take off whenever you want. I've done what I've done. I feel good. I got a plenty enough workout. I can just go. Or you're running on the treadmill, right? Maybe you're going to try to run for 45 minutes. After 30 minutes, you said, I'm good. I can look at my watch and say, I've done enough time. I got to do this. Actually, I sort of did it yesterday morning when I was running. And I could have stayed on the treadmill a few extra minutes, but I had to go park my car. So I ran to my car and I sort of used that as an excuse. And it was a valid excuse, but I could do that. In this context, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to finish. I mean, I guess you could always just say, I'm done.
Yeah.
But that's where the team element
yeah.
comes in. You can't just say, I'm done. You have to complete it. And when you have to complete something, not only does it give you the mental satisfaction, but also the obviously physical advantage of going through and pushing yourself and doing more.
Yeah.
But of course, now we know what the pitfalls of that are as well.
And what are they?
Well, what do you think the pitfalls of constantly pushing yourself and pushing past what your body, naturally can do?
Overtraining is the biggest pitfall. So, yeah, I would definitely say if you're and that's a challenge if you live a normal life, you have a job, you have maybe kids, other obligations outside of it, dedicating so much of your life to exercise, it goes beyond like exercise for health and then it becomes exercise. It's a sport. But
the thing is, and here's where it gets sort of funny, that it's a sport that's incredibly intense.
Yeah.
So even if you look at other sports that use these conditioning tactics to improve, they're not on 100%. Even if you look at football, which is a really intense sport. Yeah, they'll do their conditioning, then they'll do their football drills, but then they rest, mm-hmm. right? Then they do their drills, then they rest a little bit. They're not on, or then even in a game, you're not on 100% of the time.
Yeah.
And those are professional athletes. Now you're taking people that are not professional athletes that are of any age, and you're asking them to train on a very, very high level. It's asking for all sorts of that, issues that can happen. Yeah, as you mentioned, overtraining.
Yeah.
Certainly, injury is another one that could happen whenever you're asking someone. The injury is always a possibility when you're doing complicated movements and complicated exercises. Now you take someone who's not a professional athlete and you keep pushing him and pushing him and pushing him. It just sounds like a recipe for something like this to happen.
Well, yeah, that's part of... that's up to... partially up to the coach, if there is a coach. And if there's not a coach, then whomever, you know, the athlete is, should do their due diligence and know what they're capable of. Now, that's easy to say.
When you're in the when you're in the throes of it,
yeah,
you have your team saying, go, go, go.
It's again, tough. Then if there's a team, there's a coach. And if there's a coach, that coach needs to understand their athletes and understand how to prepare them properly and when they're overtraining and what that person's goal is. So that's common, and it comes with the territory, but I think you have to be aware that that's an issue. Like, let's say you have a 9-to-5 job, you got two kids, you decide you want to train for a Spartan race. You want to do the 12 mile one. Okay. You want to do a 12 mile Spartan race. It's going to be hard. You know, the amount of training that goes into it's going to be tough. Or maybe you're doing CrossFit as part of your kind of training to get ready for it. If I'm your coach, I have to be, and I'm aware of your lifestyle how much time you have. I may say, look, here's what it's going to take for you to do it. It's not, you may overtrain, you may, you know, there's risk of injury, there's risk of fatigue, you're going to be tired, it's going to be hard. Are you willing to do it? If you're willing to do it, if that goal is more important than the potential pitfalls, then you go through it. Now, if on the other hand, I know everything that's involved and I don't at least make you aware of what it's going to take, then it's my fault if you fail. So I think part of it is also to be kind of the clarity and understanding what part of it is also like accountability. I need to make sure that we're on the same page so that you know what to expect, and then I can hold you accountable to it. If you don't know what to expect, then it's hard for me to hold you accountable to it.
Well, I know it's a lot of naysaying, sort of that I'm about to sound like, but that's putting a lot of trust in a coach, right? Especially this is not a sport where. There's a lineage of coaching where there you know exactly what to do. This is very, very new, and it's sort of a little uncharted territory, and we're not, once again, not dealing with professional athletes.
Yeah.
I don't know if we can assume that everyone is as prepared and as diligent as you are, literally you, right? You have made this your life. You're very aware when it comes to people skills. Like, you can see when someone's at their limit. You know when someone needs to rest. You know when you can push someone, right? That is putting a lot of faith into a coach. Now, maybe the coach knows the exercises, right? Maybe they're, okay, say they've trained it and they're very good at doing the exercise. Are they trained to know when someone's on the brink of injury or someone is pushing themselves too hard, right? Then it's their duty as the coach also to push you and to push you to your limit. And a lot of coaches, especially for this sort of thing, will go into it thinking that, oh, I gotta push my team to the limit, right? So that's you're putting these coaches in a tricky situation where they're pushing their teammates to the limit, but also making sure they're using the proper form and technique and not going too far. That is a lot to put on a coach in a sport that is very new, sort of dealing with uncharted territory, non-professional athletes. It just seems like there's a lot in there, and there's a lot of potential for something to go wrong. And as we've seen, there are a lot of injuries, especially in CrossFit. I don't know how much in the Spartan race category, but we've certainly seen a lot of injuries and stuff like that for people doing CrossFit type things.
Well, that's one of the limitations of fitness in general, that it's not like you don't have to be... There's no real licensing process. There's no state laws regulating what it actually means to be a personal trainer, as they do with, like, obviously being a doctor or physical therapist or even massage therapy. They have much more stringent process to become licensed or certified. So that is a limitation. And I think part of the biggest issue with CrossFit, I think, is it has to do with the coaching. And I think there are injuries, but often the protocol is intense and it's not for everybody.
Yeah.
But it works. It's good for the right type of person, and you can take a lot from it, you know. But the biggest issue with the injuries from CrossFit is not from the protocol itself any more than from any sport. People get injured playing any sport.
Sure, right? Of course.
The problem is improper coaching, and that also has to do with CrossFit's like own, you know, who gets certified and how does somebody get certified. And so the same thing as you mentioned with any coach. It's hard to know who to trust, and I don't really have an answer for that except that
but check this out. In old sports, there you have a lineage. Have people who they've learned from, coaches that have come before. They know certain ways to go about it, and they've seen familiar things happening CrossFit, Spartan Race, like that sort of stuff. There are so many more variables, right? And once again, not dealing with professional athletes or just high level athletes.
But I want to say,
dealing with a hodgepodge of different people, it's either lack of information or not information isn't the word that I'm looking for. It's sort of a lack of understanding, and there's just so many people and so many different, you know, types of things that can happen. It just makes the situation quite dangerous. Okay. I think
it can be dangerous. So one of the dangers of any of that is if you're not trained, if you're untrained, completely untrained, there's a high risk of injury because of the mobility required, the balance issues. If you're doing a race, like there's all kinds of surface changes, slippery surfaces, unbalanced. There's lots of risk there's a high risk of injury for somebody completely untrained.
Yeah.
If you're training for it, then part of your training does have to include balance training. Part of the training has to include doing things on unstable surfaces, etc. Any sport, any activity, if you're starting from an untrained level, requires that you build up your training, you progressively get yourself to that point. So that's true of anything. I think to be clear, like anyone could do CrossFit and just modify. Anybody can do a race and just modify. So if you're doing it at a very high level, if it's like, I want to do the most intense race and I want to do it in the best time possible, that's a little bit different from saying, you know, I'm going to do it, I'm going to have fun, and I want to complete it, but I don't care about my time, I don't care about what I do. Sure. So there's a little difference there. But to get back to what you were saying about coaching, I think you're underestimating the amount of knowledge that's out there and the amount that you can gain as a fitness professional. So the thing about these sports is that they are about fitness. It's kind of an amalgamation of all the things that we learn as trainers, that you should learn as a trainer. And that knowledge with a good coach can go a long way. So I think you're taking something that are they new to mainstream? Yes. But CrossFit's been around a while.
Sure. As well.
And again, exercise, you know, and exercise as competition has been around for a long time, as we talked about with World's Strongest Man or powerlifting and weightlifting. So there is a good coach, again, can guide an athlete to performing well even throughout with their life, and even if it's somebody who's not a professional athlete. We see this in MMA and kickboxing and boxing. Their amateur fighting has been going on for a long time. Mm-hmm. Amateur fighters probably go through much harder, much more vigorous training than your average CrossFit competitor. You know, not the high level. High level can be very good. Same thing with like a Spartan race or any kind of obstacle race person or athlete. They're at the highest level, they're training at the level of a professional athlete. But just for your regular, you know, average person doing it, you know, we see tons of amateur fighters go through the same thing where they have a life and they go through the coaching. Now, yes, there's not that kind of lineage to draw from. But again, as a trainer, I will have gained a lot of that knowledge just through my own training. So then it's a matter of applying it the right way. Now, yes, it means having the right coach. It means, and you have to put enough trust in your coach, which means, yes, some of it is going to be left to, you just kind of have to have faith in your coach, but you, just by talking to them, you should be able to get an idea of.
I think, that's sort of my big thing is, like when you say a good coach, if you had a good coach, of course, then it's fantastic. But how do you judge that, right? And what is the determination made, or how do you determine who's a coach? What is the, you know, what is the protocol for making a coach? What do they have to go through? What is the certification for this?
So,
see, with older sports, with Muay Thai, for instance, right? you have coaches that go back and that have been doing it and that participated in the sport. See, here we have coaches that may not have participated in the sport or may be current participants.
But, okay.
It's just very different from other situations.
But, as we've talked about before, being a participant in a sport at any level doesn't necessarily make you a good coach.
No.
And, okay, but what makes a good...
A lot of times coaches... A lot of times coaches have at least participated in the sport so that they get it. They might not have to be great at the sport, and oftentimes good coaches are not, but they've still been in it so that they understand.
How does an average person know a good guitar teacher? If somebody wants a guitar teacher... How do they know?
They don't. And that's why a lot of people go and they take lessons for years and they throw away a lot of money on terrible teachers. And it's the exact same reason. Why? Because anyone can claim to be a guitar teacher, right? And if you know sort of just enough, right, or if you're a decent player or you're at a certain level, you can sort of teach. But once again, it doesn't make you a great teacher. And people do go through. I've seen people have taken lessons for years, thinking that they have this great teacher, and then I look at their technique and I'm like, whoa,
okay,
that's happened for years. When there's just so much information out there, and when there isn't a specific process by which people or coaches or teachers are weeded out, then that's just my whole concern, is that how do you determine who's a good coach and by which process does someone become a coach? What if someone says, oh, you know, I'm in good shape. I decide I want to be a CrossFit instructor.
CrossFit is good or bad. It's a brand. So you have to
what's their process? Well,
okay.
A lot of it, the whole thing for me is that a lot of it is arbitrary, right? There's so much arbitrary. Like, they go through the process, and maybe going through CrossFit's process is very good, depending on where you go through the process, that it might be different depending on who is overseeing the person who wants to become a coach.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of variables.
You're right. There are a lot of variables. And there's no issue. There is no set protocol for becoming licensed, just in general, as a coach or trainer or anything. So just like many other things, you kind of have to do your own diligence. You have to do your research. You have to look, you know, if it's a school, look up, go to Yelp. You know, you have to ask people, get from word of mouth, interview, talk, you know, get an idea on your own, ask questions. That, you know, for fitness, that's just how you have to go about it.
Well, almost everything in life.
So, I mean, that's part of it.
So now, with that being said, from what sort of everything we've talked about and what you've seen of sort of the fitness as a sport, who would you recommend this for if they're looking to get into something, they want to do intense exercise, and they're looking at a course of fitness
anyone.
Would you recommend this for?
I would recommend it to anybody, with the kind of caveat that you know, if you have any injuries, any major injuries or physical ailments or issues or limitations, you may or may not be able to do it, or you may need to modify it, and there is a risk reward that comes with it. So the reward is, it makes fitness fun. It does. You're more engaged. You're excited. There's a feeling of accomplishment. There's a goal, especially if you have if you're like, let's say you're reasonably fit, you don't have any major fitness goal, or maybe you do have a major fitness goal. Either way, doing this gives you something to work towards. Mm. So that helps a lot, because there is a goal, and it makes fitness, it's not monotonous anymore. There's something to work, there's a function, there's a something, a light at the end of the tunnel. It's not this, oh, I got to do this every, you know, all the time, and at any age. So I've seen people in their, you know, 60s, 70s do their first, you know, Spartan race or start CrossFit and enjoy it. So there is no real, like, I'd say it's good for anyone who maybe wants to kickstart their exercise or just wants something
and who
new.
Likes that sort of team.
Now, yeah, element. Exactly. Now, some people just they're loners. They want to be on their own. They don't want that. Then there's maybe it doesn't work for them, or maybe it does in a different way. So there, I definitely say I wouldn't exclude anyone unless there are major physical issues. And then again, if there are major physical issues, you then have to think about, okay, what is my problem and what's the risk reward? The rewards, you know, being that feeling of accomplishment, the teamwork, being a little bit more motivated versus the risk of exacerbating an injury. So there is that.
So now for you, what is your goal for doing this race?
Okay, so yeah, that's a good one. So me, I'm on my high horse. Oh, I train. I have good conditioning. Blah blah blah. So I'm going into this thinking, oh, it's 3 miles. I should be able to do this in good time. I think like the, I forget what the elite time is. It's like 40 minutes. So I'm not expecting to do that. I'm not like, okay, oh, I'm a good athlete, I'm gonna do it in 40 minutes. I'm not expecting 40 minutes, but I'm expecting a reasonably decent time.
Okay.
I don't know what to expect. I've never done it. I think, from what the looks of it, there aren't a lot of the obstacles that seem incredibly hard. I think it's some conditioning. Obviously, with this, it's not as much long-term endurance as it is kind of being able to recover quickly. And
short bursts.
Some anaerobic and some just being able to recover from short bursts of intense exercise and then being able to keep going. So for me, I don't want to be sucking wind. I'm just getting myself back into shape for me. You know, I'm not in a very long time been in like, quote, you know, in bad shape. Sure. But I definitely, like, for the last couple of years wasn't in what I would consider good shape for me up until recently, so I'm just getting back, but I feel like I should do this in a decent time. I don't want to struggle, so we'll see. I really don't know what else to expect from it. I don't want to look bad, you know, I don't want to embarrass myself, but I will, you know, we'll finish it, we'll do a podcast about it, you know, maybe I'll post a blog, do a blog post about it, and show my time. So now, you know, now that I've said this, I don't want to have a bad time.
Sure.
So that, you know, for me, the goal, that's the goal. But I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be, because I do a lot of balance training, but I don't do like rope climbs. I don't do some of the things that will be involved. So, you know, really, I don't know. We'll see how I do on this.
Well,
you should do it.
We're going to, do you think that I'm in the fitness, when is it?
April 16th is the sprint, which is like a week from when we're recording. It's about a week and a half from.
What day is that?
It's a Saturday. In City Field.
I'm sure we'll
be great.
Mets
fan. Yeah, Justin's a Mets fan. It's there.
So that's, that would be cool. I think I'm actually recording that day, but I'd certainly do it. Do you think I'm in the condition to do it, or I just probably do it slow?
That's the thing, anybody can do it. It's just a matter of like how fast you want to do it.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, that's the thing with anything. That's why, like, when you ask like who can do it, I know people in there.
It's more about how fast.
Yeah. So that's really it. I have a woman who takes one of my classes who did it last year. I was supposed to be part of that team. Like, there were a few people from my gym that did it, and she's I think 55 and it was like, you know, she's in reasonably good shape, but not a particularly like great athlete. But she did it, and she did it, you know, in a decent time and had a good time doing it. So it's not like you don't have to be an elite athlete to do it. Again, if you're competitive and you're like, I want to get a great time, that's a little bit different. But yeah, you don't have to like be an elite athlete to do it. So
it's definitely something I would like to do.
One other thing, I got my free race code, and we are offering a free race code. So to our listeners, if anybody wants to try this out, there are tons of races all over the country throughout the year. So if you're interested in trying it, whether it's your first time or you've done it before and you just want to save some money, then we have a little bit of a contest. So basically, email us at thegymwits@gmail.com. Email us your fitness mantra. What do you tell yourself to motivate yourself or get yourself
going?
Sentence. It could be a phrase. It could be something. Maybe it's like your last set and you're having a hard time and you just need to say something to motivate yourself. Maybe it's something you say before you work out, or just something you repeat to yourself. Like, what's your fitness mantra? And the winner will get the free race code. And we'll post it as
one of our fortune cookies, and we'll give you the props for it.
Yep. All right. So if you want a free race code, definitely email us at thegymwits@gmail.com. So yeah, I guess that's it.
That is it.
Anything else to add?
That is it. So no, I think that's it. I'm going to look forward to seeing how you do on this race, and maybe do it myself one day.
Yeah, you should. Although you hate racing.
That's true, I do. Oh, this isn't really a race. Now that you think about it, this is less of a race, because I'm not going into it trying to win race. It's just more doing it just for fitness.
Well, that'll be interesting for me to see, because I get competitive. So like, what part of my competitive drive is like, oh, I gotta you know, do this, and how quickly I gas or not. But it should be fun. So it should be interesting.
Interesting.
All right, well, that's it. As usual, all of our social media stuff is at thegymwits.com. And you can find us there, our Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff. I'll probably post pictures from on Instagram as well. So that's it. I'm Ryan George.
I'm Justin Guild, a.k.a. Chef Sonic.
And we are the Gymwits. Gymwits.